Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is George Center. All right, I'm just kidding. It's like 35 degrees outside. It's Janae and Golic Jr., though, here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we're going to have a bunch of guests today because we are very excited to dive into Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We've got six games going on this weekend. Remember, because the playoff field has been expanded to seven teams in each conference, and so now we get this expanded Wild Card Weekend. And we're going to have Laura Rutledge and Marcus Spears on, who are part of a great mega cast we're doing, and we're going to get picks from someone very near and dear to the Bachelor universe for us joining the show. And we'll get to all of this, Chinee, but we do start this day on a very somber note for a lot of people. The world of Major League Baseball that was celebrating yesterday because of a big star on the move is hurting a little bit today at the loss of a legend. Hall of Fame manager Tommy Lasorda, who most notably spent his tenure winning two World Series titles for the Los Angeles Dodgers, passed away at the age of 93 after suffering heart failure in his home in Fullerton, California. And Chinee, this is a difficult blow. We'll talk to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts here in about a half hour about what this means. But you're out in Los Angeles, Chinee. You've gotten to be around this Dodgers organization. Certainly, Tommy Lasorda was a figure and a fixture for so many years around this club.
Spending 71 years with the Dodgers, this man is more than an ambassador. He's a part of everyone's Los Angeles family. And as you mentioned, my first MLB game was at the Dodgers Stadium, and I just had an amazing experience. And that's where I first got to know also Dave Roberts. And he was just that cultural center for everything that this organization, this team, this franchise just wanted to be, their passion for the game and their ability to just bring excellence and be committed to that. And like I said, he felt like family even as you just met him for the first time. And it is a tremendous loss for the world of sports and the world in general.
What a just an unbelievable resume. But you've seen so much of the outpouring today. It is about the person, and it's about who Tommy Lasorda was, who got to attend the Dodgers Game 6 win over the Tampa Bay Rays that clinched their World Series and got to be a part of that joyful moment. And so certainly thinking thoughts and prayers for the Dodgers faithful, for that organization, for his family and friends. And as I said, we'll be able to check in with Dodgers manager Dave Roberts coming up here in a half hour to check in with him and the rest of the Dodger faithful. Certainly no easy transition in this conversation. I know we say it, but it's always tough, and we'll do just that. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agwumike, because we do have a lot going on in the world of sports this weekend. And Chinee, it's not even with the playoff teams. We've talked so much this year about the Philadelphia Eagles, who have been out of it for so long, it feels like, and played spoiler on the final weekend of the season. But a different quarterback situation, and really that quarterback's relationship with the front office, has come under fire now, near and dear to your hearts. We've talked about Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, Chinee, but now it seems to come to an even bigger head. Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL reporter, put out last night more reports about Deshaun Watson's frustrations with his suggestions, and we'll call them just that, people that he thought should be considered for the GM role, that could be potential interviews for the head coach, not heard by Texas chairman and CEO Cal McNair throughout this process that's led to a lot of frustration. So, Chinee, on a very base level, first off, how you feeling about that? Trouble in paradise yet again seems to find the city of Houston.
Normally, our problems fly under the radar, and it just shows up in an ineffectiveness of us not being able to make it as far as we want in the playoffs, whether it's the Rockets or the Houston Texans. But I feel like this is the moment. Okay, and I'm talking about Houston sports, period. This is the moment where, and you know, you, I feel like you are, and I'm getting to know you well, you know, as our work relationship develops here. You don't really like cliches, but the cliche fits the city. Houston, we have a problem. It really stems from the Space Center, NASA. We're like the space city and all that type of stuff. But guess what? When you hear people say Houston, we have a problem, that identifies a problem. And you know what comes next? Solutions. Solutions. And I think of that as I say this, when it comes to the Houston Texans, when we heard, you know, we saw the subliminal tweets and the messages about how Deshaun Watson is unhappy. He has a right to be unhappy. This man went out there in a year that was extremely challenging and produced in a way that most quarterbacks probably wouldn't be able to do. Only a small number, a small few. So when I think about this problem that has been created largely based on the distrust, the lack of trust between the front office and the players and the issues and how we've made decisions over the past few years and we're trying to turn over a new leaf, the issue here is that you have this star player and that person has not been consulted in a way that it seems like it's done honorably, in the sense that clearly he pushed Deshaun Watson. I know I'm getting into the bigger conversation, Junior, about what we treat stars, how stars should be treated, especially in sports. But we could create a solution where, okay, you maybe messed up and did not consult him when it came to the head coaching candidate being the one team that did not interview Eric Bieniemy. But what you can do, Junior, is probably like say, you know what, we messed up here. We hired the GM. We sort of gave you a nod, a pump fake. But we still have an opportunity because we have not named a head coach, and maybe there's a solution that they can realize as they're getting dragged all over the sports world for how they're mishandling their star.
Chiney, it's interesting in that regard, because part of what's come up in that was what I thought the ultimate slap in the face to this process, because to your point, CEO Cal McNair came out and said, I've come to understand that it's been reported Deshaun feels left out of the process, but he and I have had several visits and I understood his point of view before meeting with candidates. I've reached out to Deshaun about Nick's hire, Nick Cazario, the current GM, and I look forward to him getting back to me when he returns from vacation. The slap in the face comes on the coaching front, Chiney, because we read the report the other day from Adam Schefter that this Houston Texans organization, one that reportedly had a quarterback in Deshaun Watson who pushed for an interview for current Kansas City Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy, who everybody's interview, it was reported by Adam Schefter that the Houston Texans were the only team to not even reach out about an interview to Eric Bieniemy as a coaching candidate. That, to me, is a slap in the face to this process. That, to me, looks and says, not only am I not going to take your input and even give it the cursory, you know what, you're the star, you're the best thing about our organization, we'll interview him even if we know in our heart of hearts we're not going to hire him, we'll at least give it the lip service to show you the respect that you deserve as literally the only good thing about this franchise currently right now. And that's the thing I can't understand, Chiney, and that's the question you brought up, is what does an organization owe its star player? And that can be in any sport, that can be in any team, and every situation is different, but I'll tell you this, Houston owes Deshaun Watson a lot more than it is demonstrating in this current moment.
Understand the value and the optimism and the hope that he brings and what they owe. And I think this is similar whether it is the Texans or even the Rockets. And a lot of people can look overall and see the issues that players have, you know, especially forcing trades out. Like, these are the situations where you learn from. All right, maybe we did make a mistake in the sense that we thought we know exactly what to do in bringing in our new GM and Nick Cesario, and then now having this new head coach that's available. We still want to do what we heard you, but we didn't really follow through. The least you can do is actually bring in an interview. And I think that brings like a bigger issue with like the whole process, whether it is the NFL trying to, you know, find ways to better diverse hiring through the Rooney Rule that we've seen as flawed, or even, you know, teams and organizations trying to do this as well internally. All of it is flawed. And I think this serves as a great learning lesson, a problem that has a solution, saying, look, we created a lot of attention by our lack of, I guess you can say, even prioritizing a star player. We have the opportunity to rectify this once Deshaun answers those messages, because he's leaving them on red right now.
Oh, he is definitely. Again, we talked about him yesterday, the subtweet king. You better believe he's going to leave them on red and make it sting for a little bit right now. It's a public service announcement, by the way, to turn read receipts off your phone if you don't want to terrorize your friends and loved ones.
Yes,
now, all of this may force Deshaun Watson to be breaking moves to get out of Houston.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
But
what are you doing? Oh, no, listen, he's not trying to leave. He's just trying to say he's powerful.
I'm getting us paid is what I'm doing right now. Now, we'll explore this question as the day goes along. What does a team owe its star player? Because we've got a couple of different examples in football and in the larger sports world right now that I think can provide pretty compelling comparisons for the situation in Houston. But coming up next, a Friday news dump for the ages. What if I told you that the best league might be finding out that it's a lot more like the rest of the leagues than everybody probably assumed beforehand. We'll do that next. It's Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney Angola Jr., the podcast.
Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike. And Chiney, I think it's very interesting to consider where we are right this second. because we're getting ready for Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We're getting ready for six games this weekend, wall-to-wall NFL coverage that's going to dominate our lives in what ratings-wise, everything else has been the most popular league in America for God knows how long right now. And they've had to go through a season that's had plenty of disruptions, and even now, Wild Card Weekend being disrupted by the situation going on with the Cleveland Browns. The NBA, meanwhile, over off on the side, is finding out very much how the other half lives in this situation and honestly should send the NFL a thank you note right now. Because on Friday, January 8th, for the NBA, these are the headlines that I am reading on ESPN.com. The Boston Celtics will be without the entire front court for their game against the Wizards on Friday. The 76ers will have multiple players out due to contact tracing after Seth Curry came up with a positive test that was found in the first quarter after he had spent an entire quarter of their game on the bench with an ankle injury, and Kyrie Irving will not travel with the team to Memphis on Friday after not playing in their game Thursday against the 76ers for mental health reasons in this, Chiné. It has been an eye-opening experience, I believe, for the NBA outside of the bubble, and I think the only reason it's not going to get blasted everywhere is because we've got the NFL wildcard weekend coming up.
Yeah, precisely. And I guess what I will say, the Kyrie Irving situation is very unique because this past week has affected us in different ways, right? Each person has their own subjective experience watching what we saw with the Capitol, and that was just so jarring. But we see athletes, some athletes compartmentalize, and some athletes prioritize their mental health and their families in this time. And Kyrie, you know, he's one of those players that my personal experience with, he's one of those I feel everything type of people. And I think that's why I'm not surprised, and I'm glad he's doing it. And hopefully these type of things will not be so out of the norm. And I'm glad it's just being reported as if, like, you know, that's the situation, because that's the way those things should be treated. Now, on the other side, when it comes to COVID and the challenges that the season has presented, unfortunately, you are absolutely right. You are so right. And I feel like in the NBA, and even for a portion in the WNBA, that bubble was a huge safety net for teams, in the sense that, all right, you're sheltered from a lot of the challenges that this season outside of the bubble would present, even when they're trying to be as safe as possible. And that Philadelphia 76ers situation highlights the importance of sticking to protocols, and also the challenge of those protocols, in the sense that, all right, you have Seth Curry, who was on the bench, not active, but on the bench, wearing a mask the way he should have, but still sitting in between, I believe, Joel Embiid, who is probably the guy, even through the trade conversations that we even talked about potentially for James Harden, the guy that is the center and the crux point of, you know, their team. And Joel Embiid, by the way, has a 3-month-old son, I believe, and he chooses, based on the proximity of sitting next to Seth Curry, who's also sitting next to an older coach in Sam Cassell, he chooses to quarantine himself from his family, given the news of this. That's one example of how, all right, and obviously it's like all challenging because you're getting the news in the game. And we also talked about this, Junior, how important it was to take that person out of the situation. And you mentioned football. We saw it with baseball as well, with Justin Turner. When you find that positive test, remove themselves from that situation. So like you said, I think the NBA, they're realizing that this is very challenging and teams are going to be disadvantaged, like the Celtics. But also they looked to that MLB situation and said, hey, if this happens, we need to be prepared. You need to wear your mask on the bench and you need to be moved out of that scenario. And so I guess while there's a lot of bad, at least you see the protocols in effect, and those protocols are going to be challenging for teams to sustain wins, especially like on a Boston team where they're dealing with their entire front court practically. So yeah, life comes at you fast.
Chiné Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And I'd say this, Chiné, the first thing I thought of was the playoffs, right? Now all of a sudden, and this is what we did with Major League Baseball early in their season, and thankfully didn't have to find out because they chose to go into Major League Baseball's version of the bubble for that postseason. And before that Justin Turner positive in the World Series, they had gone something like 54 days without a positive test in that time period. And so now I look at this, and you try and project forward and say, all right, the NBA learning right now that while the protocol did work, there is still a person who wound up on the bench with a positive test in a way that would be jarring headline news right now. And in a way that, because it's a regular season game and because players are going to miss, and we've sort of normalized that reality, my first thought was, man, if things don't start to progress quickly with the introduction of the vaccine to the public and all of these things, the NBA has to be ready for a bubble format for this year's postseason to try and preserve that as well. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, I will just tell you this, and this is, you know, I'm trying to be as forthcoming without saying too much, but the conversations, first of all, I think the NBA, when it came to, you know, dealing with the bubble, they didn't want to be in a position where they're taking away necessary treatments from the general population. That's one hurdle that they'd have to get ahead of. And then the second one is it's educating people on the importance or the necessary conversations you need to have when it comes to the vaccine. So those things all get negotiated and they're happening in real time. And I think there's also public interest in the sense that you have to make sure that we're not depriving people, especially in this moment. So it's a very complicated position to be in the middle of when you're having a season.
It is a very complicated position, but I think it's something they've got to have planned out in their back pocket for if things happen down the road, because again, they're learning that life outside of the bubble looks a lot like what they've seen from these other leagues, and man, it gives you some battles that you have to fight. Chenangolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We'll get back to plenty more of that, plenty more of Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, but coming up next, we will visit with Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts and get his thoughts on the passing of Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda. We'll do that after this word from Body Armor. You guys need to start your new year off right. Commit to your fitness goals and let Body Armor Lite help you achieve them. Lord knows I am right now, because even doing this radio show with this crew all week means I need to hydrate. Body Armor Lite is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. So whatever your goals might be, surviving the workday, surviving a workout, Body Armor Lite is keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now until April 30th, when you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash that go towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Back after this, Chenangolo Jr.
Chenangolo Jr., the podcast.
Chenangolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinne Agwumike, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And as we mentioned off the top of the show, it's certainly a somber day around the world of sports and especially around the world of Major League Baseball as Hall of Fame manager Tommy Lasorda has passed away at the age of 93. And you've seen it's such an outpouring from so many people that knew him, a statement from the Dodgers organization, and so many people that cared about him. And we're really honored to be joined by one of those people that cared so much about him right now, as current Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Dave, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I think that obviously it's a sad day for so many, but I know that, you know, Tommy would want to, you know, it's a day of celebration for him, as I know he's resting peacefully. I just, you know, my heart goes out to Joe and his family and Dodger Nation for sure.
And Dave, I'm just curious from your perspective as someone that saw him around there, even in his role as an advisor in these later years, what did he mean to this Dodgers organization?
You know what? He was essentially, you know, the glue, a thread to the old, to the current. You know, and his love for baseball, the Dodgers, and his love for players really transcended decades, you know, and generations. And I think for me, the Dodger way and his passion for life. And I'll tell you, Mike, he was still so sharp to the end, man. I mean, the stories that he could tell and the things that he could recount. And he was as fiery as ever. And fortunately, a lot of the stuff was in my office, so we could kind of filter it and it wouldn't get out. But I'll tell you, man, it was just great just talking baseball with him.
On a day like today, it is really nice to hear the voice of a friend. Dave Roberts, Los Angeles Dodgers manager, here with us on Chenangolo Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're really grateful that you're spending what a difficult day is for the world of sports and baseball with us. Now, Dave, I think it was really special that you guys deliver on the World Series and he was able to be there. What was it like to have him, knowing that this was the moment that really mattered to him a lot?
It meant a lot. It meant a lot to me personally. I know it meant a lot to him. And it meant a lot to Dodger fans. And that's something that, you know, his last championship, the Dodgers, 32 years ago in 88. And, you know, this is a guy that was 93 years old and wasn't in great health and still managed to make his way out to Texas to watch us play in World Series games and ultimately win a championship. And that just speaks to his love for the Dodgers and wanting to be there in person. And that's a promise that I made to him, and I'm happy that we got to hold to that promise of letting him see us win a championship before he leaves us. And so that's something I'm really proud of. And I just really feel compelled to keep his legacy alive. And with that, that comes with a lot of responsibility. And I think that I've mentioned it, the love for the Dodgers, the love for the fans, the love for the players, and trying to get baseball back to where it needs to be as America's pastime.
And speaking of such legacy, Dave, as a player in the league and now as a manager, what do you think specifically is the one takeaway that you have learned from Tommy Lasorda?
I think that the main takeaway for me is that the game has always been, always will be, about the players. And you've got to love your players. And so I think that any player that played for Tommy can echo that. You know, there's obviously disagreements and with passion and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, each one of his players knew that he cared for them, loved them, and wanted them to be the best they could be. And that, you know, whether we're in a day of analytics and information and millennials, whatever you want to talk about, old school, new school, the game being about the players and coaches that can connect to the players still plays in our day in all sports.
Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with us here on Chené and Golic Jr. And Dave, you mentioned that connection. You mentioned millennials, and we saw some of the B-roll that they were running of your guys' World Series celebration. I saw some of the players coming over by you and Tommy, and I'm curious, being around younger players right now, having guys like Mookie on this team who are so far removed from his days as a manager, Tommy's days as a manager, but still see him around, what was his interaction like, and what did he mean to the current players on this Dodgers team?
You know what, I think that I'm very fortunate to have the current players that really appreciate, respect the game and the people that preceded them. And to see that number two still in uniform, Tommy, and for the players to really respect him and treat him the way he should be treated and understand what he has meant to the game. So those guys did a great job of kind of taking on knowledge, you know, the banter back and forth, which was great, which went both ways. And I think that, you know, so Tommy just really understood that every player needed to be treated differently. And as we look at my ball club, and I'm learning every day, and you know, you get the most out of players when they can be their individual selves underneath the collection of a ball club trying to win a baseball game. But Tommy really understood that, and our players, man, they had a lot of fun with him in the clubhouse.
You can tell it really resonated, the joy that everyone saw on the field after that World Series win. Dave, we know it's got to be a hard day for you and everyone around this Dodgers club, so certainly our hearts go out to you. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since that World Series win, and so we do want to say congratulations to you.
Yes.
On becoming just one of five skippers to win a World Series with the Dodgers, and we hope that you're doing well, safe, happy, and healthy in this new year. We really appreciate the time, Dave.
Awesome, Mike Chené. You guys are the best, and thanks for having me on.
Dave Roberts, manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers, World Series champion manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That part
especially, reflecting on the life of Tommy Lasorda. And as he said, 93 years and the way that he impacted this organization, it is a lot of ways, he said, a celebration of life, which is a term I always love to hear because it's a reminder that we can look back and smile at all the things that someone like Tommy Lasorda gave us over all of that time. So great to catch up with Dave Roberts. We wish it was under better circumstances, but we know this organization, this fan base, and those that know Tommy are going to be able to sit around and enjoy a lot of those memories today. Again, we say no easy transitions, but we'll do it next as we get ready to head to Wild Card Weekend in the NFL and maybe check in with another friend in the process. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Pressure, burst pipes, but sometimes it makes diamonds. And you could put those in all types of rings. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we won't talk about rings necessarily, but we'll talk all about handing out some NFL Wild Card Weekend roses as we combine two of my great loves. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agumake. Now, Chiné, this is interesting, though, because we've spent a lot of this week talking about what we heard coming back there. Pressure on players going into Wild Card Weekend right now. Who's under the most of it? But I feel like now that we're finally at the weekend, we probably need to start looking at the underdogs a little bit in all of this, because ESPN and Stats and Info put this out, and it's pretty compelling. We've got this weekend the expanded Wild Card Week field, so keep that in mind. Seven teams in each conference as opposed to two. In the last 2 years, underdogs are 6-2 outright on Wild Card Weekend. They've had multiple underdog outright wins in each of the last 3 years, and an underdog of at least 6 points has won each of the last three Wild Card Weekends. And so we've got all that in mind right now, and I'll give you the list. According to our ESPN and the Daily Wager, all of the betting lines on our website, we've got the Browns right now, -6 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've got the Bears, -10 against the New Orleans Saints. You've got the Washington football team, -8 against Tampa Bay. And last but not least, you have got Phillip Rivers and the Colts, -6 against the Bills right now. Now, I would say they'd be looking ripe for an upset, but I would probably upset our next guest. We welcome in, right on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN MMA analyst and Bills superfan, Ariel Helwani, with us now. And Ariel, just give me a temperature check about how you and Bills Mafia are feeling going into this weekend, knowing what I just said.
Well, first of all, how dare you intro me with that kind of information? Are you kidding me? Here we are, first home playoff game in 25 years, and you're going to intro me with the underdog odds? Really? You see, that's what I said the last time we were on. No one wants to respect the Buffalo Bills. We're not the cute story. We're not Bills Mafia jumping through flaming tables. We're not the Zubaz-wearing, starter jacket-wearing Buffalo Bills fans of 20 or so years ago. No, we are the beasts of the East. And guess what? We're not only being disrespected by the likes of you, Junior. We're being disrespected by everyone. Even the TV executives are disrespecting us. The number two seed, the second best team in the best conference, is playing at the 105 slot on Saturday. We're the first game? Are you kidding me? But guess what? We love it. We love the disrespect. We thrive off the disrespect. This is what we live for. You know why? Because the Steelers are playing Sunday night. So we'll get 8 days off between our next game, our first and second game, and they'll get six. This is playing right into our hands. We love everything about it. So you're asking me how Bills Mafia is feeling. You're asking me how the fans are feeling. We are revved and ready to go. It's going to sound like 67,000 fans at Bills Stadium in Orchard Park tomorrow, not 6,700. The fans will get to see Stephon Diggs in person, live, in living color for the very first time this season in a playoff game. Josh Allen is ready. Cole Beasley is coming back. John Brown is back. Who else do you want me to talk about? Devin Singletary? Zach Moss? Do you want to talk about who do you want to talk about? Who do you want to talk about? Sean McDermott, the coach of the year? Do you want to talk about the MVP, Josh Allen? Who do you want to talk about? What do you want from me?
Okay. Remember, Ariel Helwani, ESPN MMA insider and also Bills fan extraordinaire, here with us on Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Okay, hold on, Ariel, because I want you to remember that was Junior's choice of lead-in. You said yourself that no one wants to respect the Bills, so I just offer you hold my beer, because I want to play the sound for you, because a lot of the conversation entering the NFL playoffs, especially the Super Wild Card Weekend, is that it's pretty much Kansas City versus the field, right? But we brought on Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, and he said this about your Bills.
The hottest team right now is the Buffalo Bills. Based on our weighted DVOA ratings that lower the strength of early season games to get a better idea of how well teams are playing now, we actually have Buffalo number one right now, New Orleans number two, and then Tampa Bay and Green Bay.
Ariel, how about that? The nerds and the table breakers all coming together for the Bills.
I love it. It gives me chills up and down my spine. I get a little emotional just hearing that because it feels a little bit surreal. But go back to the clip. Listen closely. He's saying it in a bit of it's like a backhanded comment. He's like, the Buffalo Bills, like, could you believe the Bills, the sad sack Bills? Could you believe those crazy fans actually have the number one team? We do have the number one team. And finally, I feel like fans have started to give us a little more respect over the past month, because we played four straight times. prime time, either Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. And what do? We beat down the Arizona 49ers. We beat down the New England Patriots. We beat down the Pittsburgh Steelers. We beat down the Denver Broncos. We are the best team in the league. We will be going to Tampa, by the way, in early February. And why is that so significant? Why do I love everything about this whole scenario? Because it's exactly 30 years. Let me educate you guys. 30 years ago in Tampa, of all places, unfortunately, Scott Norwood missed a field goal with just seconds remaining in the first of four straight Super Bowls that the Bills went to. 30 years later, and unfortunately, Whitney Houston isn't around to sing the national anthem, but 30 years later, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and the rest of the boys are going back to Tampa to finally bring the Lombardi Trophy back to Western New York. You could pin that. You could cut it up. You could clip it. You could do whatever you guys want to do. You could put it on your Instagram story. Mark my words. Tell Schefter. Tell Swagoo. Tell all those NFL quote-unquote insiders at ESPN that this is the truth. These are the facts. Cold, hard, straight from the Bills fans' mouth.
You heard it here first on Chinay and Golic Jr. from Ariel Helwani. Yes. This is the year for the Buffalo Bills. And Ariel, just to let you know, we will clip that. We will put that everywhere, and we will make sure everybody knows
you
so that
shine
you get
it
the credit.
Shine it up real nice, and you can shove it up the rear end of all those Colts fans, because guess what? The coach of the Indy Colts, Frank Reich. Who's Frank Reich? History lesson, 1993, greatest comeback in Buffalo Bills history. He wants us to win, too. Imagine that. The Colts head coach wants the Bills to win. How do I know this? He told me last night. Maybe, maybe not, but I'm going to believe it anyway. Frank Reich wants the Bills to win. Isn't that amazing? The coach of the Colts wants his opponent to win. It's a beautiful story. You got to love it.
We won't let the truth ever get in the way of a good story. Ariel, we appreciate the time. We appreciate your passion. We'll make sure that you get back on here and get the credit if and when the Bills win this weekend.
Yes.
All right, pal?
Yeah, you better. You won't do it, but, you know, I appreciate you saying. I know you won't do it, but I appreciate you guys saying, hey, have a great weekend. And go, Bills, go.
Thanks to Ariel Helwani. By the way, Marcus Spears will be on the program later on, so we can let Marcus know exactly what Ariel's brought to the table on this one, Chinay. And it is interesting, and he mentioned it there. They actually wouldn't be the place that I'm looking for an upset this weekend.
True.
If I'm being honest, because what the Bills have done this year and the steps Josh Allen has taken right now, the one name he didn't mention there was Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, who has been an absolute rocket this year up the charts of so many people when they talk about the names of coaches that might be potential head coaches going forward. Chinay, the team I'm very curious about going into this weekend is Tampa. He mentioned the site of the Super Bowl, the host of the Super Bowl, going up against the Washington football team and that pass rush, because every number that we have so far, Chinay, that looks and says this, tells the same story. Tom Brady, when he is pressured, drops like a rock harder than almost any quarterback in the NFL, not named Ryan Tannehill right now. And he's going up against a Washington football team that is ready to make things muddy with one of the fiercest D-lines in all of football. And it just seems like if you're going to look somewhere, Chinay, for that to hold through, again, an underdog of at least 6 points has won in each of the last three wildcard weekends. That seems like the spot you may want to look.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And like you said, tale as old as time, Tom Brady getting pressure, that sort of makes things a little bit more precarious. But I did see that the Washington football team, sixth in the NFL in sacks and tied for second with most interceptions. So I feel like if they're going to be juiced up on one side, knowing that this is going to help us win, it's that defense, and that actually is their greatest advantage against the Bucs.
I'll give you the most telling stat about the Washington football team in a little bit as we get primed for this and bring in a guest to help us get ready, because we're going to give you our picks going into Wild Card weekend. We're going to put it on wax and get ready to go down this playoff stretch. Playoff G has entered the building now, word to Paul Pierce. But we do have breaking news. The Cowboys have fired their defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, after one season. Speaking of the NFC East, Dallas allowed 218 points in its first six games, the most by an NFL team since 1954. So again, Mike Nolan out after one season with the Dallas Cowboys. Big news coming out of the NFL in the offseason, but we'll get ready for the NFL postseason next. Find out which teams not only going to be taking home wins, but roses. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.